it seems like a lot of the body of Christ have been just under the surface irritated, just kind of grumpy about church in general, and not knowing really why. And if you talk any length with them, it always comes down to that performance element or atmosphere of either the attempts at or even the accomplishing, making it the Letterman show, you know, kind of a deal, rather than something that really equips them to go back to their workplace or back to their home and be what they feel like they've been called to be. And it's very clear that with economic situations going the way they seem to be, that pretty soon we're not going to have the Showtime deal, and we're going to have to face this. So I would like to get ahead of the curve and prepare an army of young people who understand that music is a result of the worship life, not some sort of initiating tool that they can use for their own gain.
This is Bill Martinez Live, and we're talking with Terry and Nancy Clark from Catalyst, their music ministry, of course, very, very a big part of many churches across the country and here in Southern California. And I do want to issue this warning. I know this is from all our hearts. Nancy, I'm sure you'll agree that, you know, this is what we're talking about today is all about glorifying God.
Absolutely.
And edifying the church. And it's many gifted musicians and singers. Our prayer is that the grace of God will anoint our words and ideas, and that where correction is required, then God be glorified. Where focus needs to be better focused, like the Karate Kid, you know, the movie says, you need focus. I got focus. You need better focus. You know, then God, you know, it's all about God being glorified, and where our talents need to be surrendered to Him who gave you the talents to begin with.
Absolutely.
Then only God can be glorified. Right, Nancy?
That's absolutely right.
Right. Yeah, I just don't, you know, I it's tough sometimes when you bring this up. And I think that, you know, as you mentioned, Terry, we're in a culture where emotions and feelings are such a dominant part. And we're afraid to hurt people's feelings. And you know, like we talked about, you know, did God really say?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, He did say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was really given a cool clarification on what the problem is. I was reading a little book. It's letters from C.S. Lewis to his friend Malcolm, and it says it's chiefly on prayer. Well, the first letter from Lewis actually addresses this, what was called the liturgy problem at the time, which means doing church. Mm-hmm. How do we do church? Well, he pointed out that he believed that people actually go to church or gather together for the outside chance that they might have an encounter with God, a personal encounter with God. And they just put up with all the other stuff, the novel stuff that the pastor comes up with to make it more palatable or comfortable or whatever. And that put the plumb line down. People need that intimate contact with God.
You know, speaking of C.S. Lewis, I like one of the lines he said, he wrote so many, such a prolific writer. He says, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were those who thought most of the next.
Yeah, that's perspective.
Right.
That's real perspective. That focus problem.
Exactly.
Is really what we have, because it seems like we've got the cart before the horse, especially when it comes to this engagement with God, and what we're made for is that engagement.
Amen.
And so there's something on the inside. I did this wonderful Spanish worship night last night over in Orange, and that was the focus the Lord wanted to make, that He made us with this homing device inside of us, and it drives us nuts until we find that one thing that's going to satisfy that, and that's just personal intimacy with Him.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's part of the challenge. I think it's why it's so easy, and we talked about this before. I mean, when you know, Nancy, we talked, you know, Satan was the original worship leader.
Right. He was.
And here he's just taken, he knows our vulnerability, and he's taken the gifts and talents that God has deposited into a musician or a singer and just tweaked it, you know, took it off focus, just enough to make it less than true worship to God. Because after all, we read what five times Satan said, you know, well, the word says that he tried to rise above God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're so self-centered that we just believe him enough to carry that off and not think about really who it is that we are worshiping, you know, until we get back on track, until the Holy Spirit, thank God for his Spirit that gets us back on track again, and we can see plainly that it's the Lord. And if not for him, there isn't anything we have to give. We have nothing of our own selves to say or to sing or any talent whatsoever. It's got to be for him or it's meaningless.
Terry, I got to imagine, you know, the journey that you've been on. I mean, initially playing, you're obviously gifted. God has wired you in such a special way. And when did you connect in such a way where you said and surrendered your talents to God and felt the anointing on your ministry in such a way that you said, whoa, I don't want to ever go back and do anything less?
Well, I think it has to point to the moment where he met me in a place right at the bottom. I was in the mental floor at a hospital in Munich, Germany, having seen everything that human beings can do and taken part in a lot of it. I just checked out. It was so humiliating to just be part of the human race. And I lay in that bed, and after they had diagnosed me with no hope and would send me back to the United States, he made himself known in the room, and I heard his voice, and it was very familiar because I knew him as a child. I knew that voice, and that's really a key. You parents out there, you need to let your kids hear his voice for themselves, because it's that personal connection. And that's the point I'm getting to. When he spoke to me, when he showed me what he wanted to show me, it changed everything. And that's been the case ever since. And so I'm addicted to that now. And his perspective is that his design in us, those gifts we have, whether it's a musician as a musician or a builder or a radio, talk guy, what that is the language of our worship.
Yes.
That's the language of how we express it. And like Oswald Chambers would say, we bring what God has worked in, and our responsibility then is to express that, bring that out into the natural world where it can make an influence for him. And that's what he means by glorifying God. He is seen through our obedience and submission. And the problem with that is that we've been disconnected from the source of any sanity. So how are we going to make up our minds what we are to do? We have to come to him. And that's the only thing Jesus commands us to do. Come to me. Every time you get in trouble, if you can still hear his voice, and that's what Dear Lord is about. If you can hear his voice, he's saying, come over here. Come to me, because it doesn't matter what the answer to your question is. The answer to your life is right here in me and letting me live the life that I designed in you. And so that simply is his definition of worship. When he spoke to the lady at the well in John 4, and he said, God is seeking genuine worshipers, he wasn't looking for piano players or guitar players or singers. He was looking for Bill and Terry to come to that place where we knew nothing else could give us what we're intended for, except for coming to him. And we make a habit of that because we drift. In this life, it's a constant battle because the encroachment of that, did God say what you think he said? Maybe he wants you to feel better. Maybe he wants you to be more happy or whatever. And so the deception starts with that. And so we drift away. And so every time we realize, like King David was called a man after God's own heart for that very purpose. When he realized, and it took him a little while sometimes it was quick, but when he realized what he had done, he was on his face talking personally to God. Mm-hmm. There's a key. You talking to Jesus right now is right. Really the key to you starting to understand, because when you come, then he honors that obedience by showing himself.
And you're not running away, and it's okay to ask God, say, God, I don't understand.
Yeah. Admit it.
That's a good question. It's a good question, right?
Big step. Big step.
Nancy, how about your journey in music? I mean, was it always in church, or did you?
Yes, pretty much. Uh-huh. Yeah. I never had any opportunities anywhere else. But that was enough for me. I never was looking to be anything different than just the opportunities that I had growing up, part of a young people's group in our church. In fact, Terry's brother was a member of that group before Terry came back home from overseas. Mm-hmm. And we were doing what, you know, the Lord opened up the door to do, not thinking whether it'd be great or not. We just enjoyed doing what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And at one point, we were at a loss because our leader of our little group left for a better gig, I guess. And he was our leader because he could play the piano and he told us what to do. And so Terry's younger brother, Dwayne, at the time said, well, my brother's coming home and he plays the piano. Maybe he could tell us what to do. So that's exactly what happened.
If he could speak a whole sentence, maybe.
So he with the biggest instrument wins? Is that the deal?
Yeah, I didn't know what he was talking about. But
God works in mysterious ways.
So he became the leader. And from that point, we had a little group called Children of Faith. Mm-hmm. And we traveled through South Texas mainly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of little banquets and Baptist Student Union opportunities, and it led to bigger and better things. Terry and his brother got an invitation to join a national group, and so the rest of us said, well, I guess we have other endeavors.
Yeah.
Well, how did it connect for you, Nance, though, when you went from, I mean, here you are, you're in a group, and you're gigging, and you're having fun, and you think, okay, and we're singing Christian songs, but when did you feel it come into your heart, and you just said, oh, okay, this is what it's all about?
Well, even before that, I mean, for me, it started as a young child. I grew up in a Christian environment and home where the Lord was the priority. And I never really had a testimony of contrast to that, where I was in the darkness and living for the world. And even though it was technically, I wasn't aware of it until knowing that the Lord was the only reason to have any exertion of any kind. Whether I had any talent to give, any song to sing, it had to be for Him, and had no meaning.
Right.
And so it wasn't one particular point. It was just growing up that way and knowing that there was no alternative.
And no turning back.
No.
Attagirl. Bill Martinez live here on the God and Country Station. This is Kay Bright. We're talking with Terry and Nancy Clark, and is worship in the church becoming too performance oriented? Terry, you know, for the musicians hearing this today, and I appreciate you extending worship beyond music and playing piano or guitar or singing. It's our life back to God. It's what He's given us, and I agree with that. And want to now bring it. Let's talk about the musicians themselves, maybe those that are worship leaders in churches, and they're hearing this conversation and they go, you know, I'm just not gonna, I think I'm missing something. And the people who are, coming to church are not coming into the presence necessarily. I'm not bringing them into the presence of God. And to me, that's what true worship is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it has to do with the first thing we have to understand is that the cart is before the horse, in the way that we think the music is the starter kit for people to do that. Mm-hmm. What is really the starter kit is this intimate interaction with God and open conversation with Him. And here's a model from David again. He would have this knockdown drag out with God, intimate interaction. Mm-hmm. He would write it down, roll up the scroll, and send it over to Asaph and say, this is what we're singing tonight. See, that's the other way around. David mm-hmm. was a master musician.
Right.
But he wasn't making the music. He was making the source and the lyric, the content, be this intimate interaction. And that was the model that Jesus was talking about when he said genuine worshipers are the ones that make a habit of turning and coming toward Jesus and then opening that up. And so a worship leader, which is primarily the pastor, because he's the head worship leader. He leads them to the pastures where they need to go, where God is leading a body of believers. And but under him come the musicians who are to take what is being said to God mm-hmm. from the body
right.
in response to what he's spoken to them. And their job is to put that in a musical structure so that the body can sing it and place that flag mm-hmm. in the road on their journey to where God is leading them.
Right.
And it's that formula that would be an incredible, like a piece of dynamite mm-hmm. going off in every local gathering of the body. Because why else would we gather than to open our personal lives with Jesus, open it so that the rest of the body parts can benefit from
Amen.
It.
Amen.
And be inspired and encouraged and comforted and healed. I mean, if you right. look at it in the model of the body that Paul has given us, that Jesus gave Paul, is that the healing and the source of life comes from the head, from the heart, into the body parts that make the function of the body and the influence of the body effectual in the world today. Mm-hmm. And the music, I mean, you need to say the same thing in the music as what you're saying from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes great music.
Amen.
Barry McGuire said one time that if music is happening, something is being worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes,
so
right.
it's a language of the heart.
Right.
It's a language of that heart intimacy. And when it is that, then it's a hit no matter what you're talking about.
Right.
And so there's this element that's missing because the context is turned around.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord needs to speak to his body, and that needs to be the groove that the whole body is going through, and they come together to respond to that and hear him speak more. And then, you know, it's like a conversation. You come right. together as a group to converse personally, but as body parts connected in the spirit so that the body can be equipped. And that's why the gifts of the prophets and evangelists and teachers and pastors are given so that they would be equipped. The body would be equipped. They're the ministers mm-hmm. because God has sent them and distribute them into the community right. to be his representative there. So the music can really staple that in
right.
their consciousness and in the spiritual world, bringing that right out into the natural world so that everybody can feed on Jesus.
Right. Well, it's like if I'm hearing you correctly, what I'm hearing and what's speaking to my heart here is that the music and the music ministry sets up kind of a framework of the entire worship service mm. that too often churches, you know, part of the performance orientation gets, I've been into some services where it's a production piece.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
one element after another and they're not congruous. They're mm-hmm. not coming together in
right.
such a way to where the worship is feeding into the next.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a great, you know, 18, 20 minute set of music that you enter into the presence of God, and then all of a sudden, you know, the church administrator says, well, it's time to make announcements. You know, it's like all of a sudden you just, I mean, I just sense yeah. the Holy Spirit just hitting, you know,
well,
hitting
the
wall.
The conversation is over then.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, try to talk to your wife that way, right?
Okay.
Yeah, oh, you have. Sorry, Nancy.
How about you?
That's right. Just try it. conversation is conversation.
Right.
And what we all need is meaningful conversation, whether it's with our wife or with the dog catcher or with our neighbor or with God. We have to have that. We're human beings. We're right. spiritual beings that we need that spiritual connection with people right. and with the meaning of what we're doing and all of that.
Right.
And it has to relate itself in the communication with God of the person in the conversation with God, and that means with the body connected. The Lord gave me this beautiful picture as you read Ephesians. There's this statement about God building a habitation for himself.
Hmm.
Not for the habitation, but to show off to the principalities and powers that didn't vote for this plan of grace
mm-hmm.
to involve human beings as an integral, as the substance of God's presence in the world. And so he's showing off through us. And each one of us in the body have been built together, as Peter said, living stones.
Mm-hmm.
And as we face God, as we look at him and peer into his face, then we're clear, like a polarized glass.
Mm-hmm.
As you turn, you can turn that light off if you want, if you're looking at something else.
Right.
But if you're looking straight at the source of the light, it pierces through us, and we don't even know what he's doing through us, but he's showing himself.
Amen.
And that changes everything for everybody, even the principalities and powers that hate it when he does that.
Right.
But it proves that his plan of grace works.
And that he is God.
He is God.
Amen.
He's the one at the center.
Well, Nancy, especially in these times, you know, here we are, a lot of conversation about end times. And I just see the music ministry, worship, being so key for a time such as this.
It is. It's amazing how a song will penetrate in any kind of atmosphere, mood, trauma, despair. And the Lord, by his Spirit, especially if that song is directed to him, it's mm-hmm. one that he can use, then he can speak straight to that situation or that person that has no clue of what's going on. And they can turn their eyes on him, and it changes the whole circumstance around them. And suddenly they're enveloped into his world and out of ours. It's like the mm-hmm. song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim."
Right.
And it's his light, it's his love that changes that.
And then the focus on the eternal.
That's right.
Amen. Terry, today's music ministry, and what do these musicians, I mean, here, you know, what happens in most churches is, hey, do you play guitar? How would you like to lead worship?
Yeah. You know? You're it. Tag, you're it.
You're the only guy here that knows three chords,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And now you're on stage.
Yeah, I think that comes out of a desperation from the leadership of needing, knowing they need the music
mm-hmm.
and they need somebody who can play
right.
that helps a little bit. But I think they need to understand that their job is to mentor and to disciple. If a person can just, you know, type or do things that can be a part of what the body is needing, then that person needs to be discipled to understand who they're doing it for and what's the source of the energy that they're using to do it. And that's true of musicians, but I don't think the pastor wants to get that close to a musician because they're weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in their minds, all right. pastors think musicians are weird. It's mm-hmm. because, you know, from my perspective as an insane person, everybody else is weird,
right.
you know. And that's the same thing. Sorry. It's just the bare truth.
Well, and sometimes, you know, I've found that pastors put themselves in a competitive situation with the worship team.
Well, that's for good reason, because mm-hmm. the number one demise of a church is it's the worship leader who says, "Oh, I want to be pastor now."
Yeah, yeah, I've got the people's attention,
and that comes from not discipling the guy to start with.
It and God has an order of things. I love God's order.
Yeah.
Just like you said, even, you know, all the satanic forces, everybody doesn't want God's order to work.
That's right.
They want, because if they can compromise God's order, you know what? He's mm-hmm. not God.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. So, but if we follow God's order of things and his spiritual authority, things work.
Yeah.
And so here it is. You put it in place, and God and the leadership together in that body says, here's our man, here's our lady.
Yeah.
And they're leading the way.
There's nothing like it. And that's why the resistance to that is so great, because once you taste that,
right,
you're no good for anything else anymore.
Exactly.
Because once you taste the pleasure of God and his provision, his empowering, that's obviously in the face of you not being able to do something on your own, then it changes your perspective completely, and it starts that process of us becoming more and more entwined. And Jesus said it, I want them to be one as we are one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was obviously such the joy of Jesus, for the joy set before him. He went to the cross. I mean, he went through death and suffering and torture, but it was a joy for him to do that because of this intimacy and this fulfilling relationship, interchange and oneness with God. And that anointing is actually that flush of acceptance and approval and ordination basically is what the word is in English, but it fills your hands with God. I mean, it just fills your hands. Okay, what are you going to do now?
Right.
What are you going to do? What is in your hands to do?
Right.
And whether it's music or something else, that's the joy of your life suddenly.
Well, it's God's confirmation that, you're my gal.
Yeah.
You've got it.
You've made for this spot.
I believe you. You got the goods. And even though you may go and say, Why me, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
He said, no.
That's the qualification.
You are the one. Right.
That's the qualification. I can't do it. Oh, well, you're the one then.
Right.
Because everybody knows that it's going to be me if it gets done.
Well, you know, I was telling you, I was talking with Rich Bueller on Friday. And,
oh, what a great guy, Rich.
Oh, he's awesome. He said, by the way, to give you a hug, we're talking about my background. My background, you know, I was in radio for many years in Los Angeles radio, but I was a goofball. You know, I played records.
You're admitting it.
I was. I mean, you know, it was like, and talk about having a split personality, because I'm a marketing guy, okay?
Yeah.
And so, you know, like during the day, I'm doing business. I'm helping other accounts grow their companies and producing ads for them and that sort of thing. And then at night, I jump in the phone booth, I would tell people.
Mm-hmm.
And because for many years, I was a Kiss radio from 7 to 10 at night.
Yeah.
It was a great gig. I mean, so I'm fooling around doing all this stuff. And so here it is. But I've been off the air for 30 years. I've not been on the radio for 30 years.
Mm.
And I told you, God's favorite hour to wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, he says, hey, and I go, why are you talking to me? You know, go talk to Rich, you know. I don't have a pulpit for this kind of deal. And so then this opportunity. And so here now, you know, 6 months later, and it's totally God's hand because I'm used to playing records, you know, I'm enjoying this, you know, and just messing around and being a juvenile on the air. And now God says, no, you're my guy. I want you here doing this talk show.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing how he works. And he actually is able to speak to us when we know we can't do
right.
it.
Right.
And we don't understand how.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why it's happening to you, because he wants that interaction with it. Because the whole point is that you would look to him.
Right.
The whole point is that you would come to him.
Right. Well, yeah, Nance, you know, one of the, I guess one of the biggest complaints that I hear in church today is the music's too loud.
You hear that? Yeah. From what age group do you hear that from?
Well, it'll run the cross section.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
really,
it
I mean, it, they'll just say it's too loud, and this new technology that's out there, and I know that everybody, you know, again, the temptation of being a musician is that you have all these all this new technology and synthesized sounds and everything that you can bring into it, all in the name of worship. And I mean, I was reading a newsletter here this week, and it talks about the effects of rock type music, and not trying to be overly critical. I mean, he was trying to place it out and just say it's satanic in origin, and you know, people are disturbed. And I guess, like you were saying earlier, Terry, when people come in, are they edified by the worship? Can they have this? But it's like, wow, are we putting people off and chasing them away from coming into the fellowship?
I think probably for sure, that when something is real, regardless if it's loud or soft or got a beat or not, if it's real and the people that are giving this are passionate and their attention is to glorify the Lord and to edify the body by pointing them to Jesus, then it's not going to be so criticized.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, people aren't going to be put off and try to find fault, because they're going to be caught up in the fact that, yes, this is real, and I can't deny this. And God's using this to speak to my heart. And I know a lot of churches will almost be in competition with one another as far as their bands go, or their music and being on the cutting edge. They get caught up in that, and suddenly there's no recourse. They can't go back to just a guitar player, because that would be, too boring.
Right.
They have to continue the momentum. And so that's a hard place to be, but if they can just look at the reality of it, and if Terry's saying earlier that the music needs to say what the message is, and if a band does that better, then use a band on this song. If it's a guitar player that does the sensitivity, portray the sensitivity of the song with just him alone, then go with that. Don't try to keep up with the status quo.
Yeah.
And it all boils down to, what is God saying through this music to me, to my heart?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Is the Holy Spirit in this, or is it being manufactured? And then then we get performance oriented again.
Yeah,
right?
What it's really saying is that I can't follow this. It's too much the same the whole time, and it's not touching me.
Right. Bill Martinez Live, we're here with Nancy and Terry Clark from Catalyst Ministries on K-Bright, your God and Country station, shining over Southern California for 30 years now. And phone lines are open at 1-800-227-KBRT if you have a question for Terry and Nancy. Terry, we're just talking about a musician. Okay, how do, you know, they're sensing that what we're talking about, that, you know, maybe I need some discipling. Mm-hmm. You know, I need some help here. What do you recommend?
Well, I recommend first to swallow the word whole. So many of the people that are involved in the worship ministry in a church, they haven't even read the Bible yet. And to know God is eternal life. To know Jesus is eternal life. Not to know the chords. To know the roadmap of a song, and to be able to emote properly so that people really enjoy it. That's not life. Life is knowing God. So you have to start with swallowing this incredibly foreign pill called the Holy Bible.
Right.
And once you start that and you begin to see him, then it's different.
Okay.
Everything changes. The worship music thing in the temple, I mean, it was started basically by a guy who made instruments for the purpose, and for his early life, he was out in the field giving a peaceful atmosphere to the sheep in face of real danger by making an instrument so that he could play it. So I don't think that there's much foundation for saying, okay, well, this is just a work of the flesh. Okay, well, our flesh needs to emote or transmit the peace of God and the presence of God and to change the atmosphere around us. And that can be misused and used by satanic groups to manipulate and to just fabricate an atmosphere and to allow unholy spirits to come. But you know, the devil never initiates anything. He doesn't originate any idea. He just messes it up for everybody.
You love to tell the story. The church that we were involved, we went to go do share some music at, is a long time ago, and the church service opened up. They had their worship group on
very lively
on the platform, and we were sitting on the second row waiting to be introduced and called up to share some of our songs. But Terry was sitting in the second row listening to what was going on, quite miserable.
The musicians, and I use that in quotes, were draped over the platform and off of both sides, and they were all playing and with gusto, and the guy, and from a musician's point of view, who has been a musician and with the best in the world, the organist shouldn't have been on the organ at all, and the guitar player should have been, you know, somewhere else and not playing the guitar. But I'm sitting there just kind of seething about this, and I feel a tap on my shoulder, and Jesus says, "What's wrong with you? I like it." And so I just, you know, bit my lip and started clapping with the rest of the people who were having a great time in the Lord's presence.
They were worshiping God with all their might, and that's exactly what he was happy about.
Right. Amen. And I think that sometimes that's a challenge, because when, you know, part of balancing this conversation here is what the focus is. Mm-hmm. And if the focus is there and it's God glorified, you can interpret it.
Good is good.
Yeah. And it'll transcend. And especially in this case here, in the context, if the focus is God and we're glorifying God.
And our job is simply to facilitate that connection.
Right.
Like C.S. Lewis was saying, people were coming for that encounter, and what we're there to do is facilitate that, not get in the way of it, and not manipulate it, but to just facilitate it.
Well, and like I said earlier, Nancy, was we were talking about when you and Terry were talking, it was like God was talking to my heart that the whole church service is a worship, is how it comes together, that one element to the next, that it just keeps building in this, you know, into this crescendo. It's not, it doesn't begin and end on the musical part. It doesn't begin and end at the announcements.
No, it's a whole conversation.
Right, exactly. I like that.
And the whole physical nature of what we call church today is kind of an accommodation for the continued isolation of the individual rather than this interaction. And,
right.
And that puts some perspective on what we're doing, that actually it would help if we would just make it a little bit more people-oriented rather than the speaker-oriented or the presentation-oriented.
Right.